morning. I know that many are here who have not been feeling really well. We do have a large number among our members who are sick and needing a lot of doctor's cares, but we appreciate you being here this morning. And I'd like to say something about Brother Nichols. He's also one of those taking treatment for cancer and sometimes does not feel too well. But nevertheless, he's here this morning. He's taught his class and now led singing and is always available to do what he can in the service of the Lord. We appreciate that so very much and need to commend him for the work that he does. We've also had a very good class in the book of 1 Corinthians. If you're missing that class, you're missing a good study. One of the things we've been noticing is the difference between the carnal and the spiritual. A carnal mind is the man who looks at the worldly things. It doesn't lift up his spirit. It doesn't lift up his mind to the spiritual level. So we talk about going up to a higher level in the spirit. We can do that this morning, and our worship service designed by God helps us to be spiritually minded. As we sing the songs, for example, the words that we sing, particularly the one in the beginning about the hallelujah. Hallelujah, praise Jehovah. And the language is so biblical. And I recognize that sometimes we have to stop and really think about those, as he mentioned, understanding the meaning of praising Jehovah. And then we think of other things as we open the Word of God. And Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be filled. I'm saying all these things to help us understand the spiritual aspect of our worship. Don't look at the building, don't look at the flaws of those who, like me, stand before you, but rather think in terms of the spiritual, and as Jesus promised, we will be filled.
Amen.
Wanted to go back this morning. On Wednesday night, we've been studying the subject of David in 1 and 2 Samuel, and we want to go back to that this morning from the standpoint of something we read in just a moment ago in the Psalms. In Psalms, as we open chapter 19, blessed are those who seek God with a whole heart. That is not the hypocrite, not the one who sort of is on the periphery of the Bible and doesn't really understand spiritual things, but someone who hungers and thirsts after righteousness. And we need to recognize that David was a man after God's own heart and sets us as an example. Now, to those who have been in the class, this is going to be somewhat of repetition, I know. But nevertheless, because of the search for our hearts, that we might be a man after God's own heart, I'd like to go back and talk about those things. Because it is so important that we have people who really search for God. When Abraham was alive, there was a city called, cities called Sodom and Gomorrah of the plain, and they were full of wicked people. And as God told Abraham that he was going to destroy them, Abraham was searching for good people. And if enough good people could have been found, God would spare the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. But he couldn't find even five good people, and therefore the cities were destroyed. We need to have people with a good heart today.
Amen.
I believe that America is in the process of being weighed in the balances.
Amen.
Go back to the time of Daniel, when Daniel was in captivity, and God spoke concerning the Babylon, and the king saw a handwriting on the wall. And the handwriting said, you've been weighed in the balances and are found lacking or wanting. And that kingdom fell. I think the handwriting is on the wall for our nation. Things are taking place that are immoral, that are cruel, that are certainly away from God. I'm not a doomsayer. I'm not Chicken Little who says the sky is going to fall. I'm a historian looking at how God has treated the nations through history when they've turned away from Him and they've always been brought down.
Amen.
America's not too big to fall. We have to recognize that forces are in play which are destroying faith in God in America. And so we need to find men after God's own heart. And I'd like for each one of us to make an application to myself. Are you a man or a person man or woman after God's own heart. We read about David in 1 Samuel chapter 13, and Saul, when Saul was a king, he started off in such a wonderful way, and God blessed him, and he had a spirit of prophecy, and he was able to prophesy and do good things. But he had a heart that did not really obey God. He was not a man after God's own heart. He disobeyed God on different occasions, and God took away the kingdom from him, and as he recognized that Saul had to be dethroned because of his disobedience, he said in chapter 13, verse 14, "The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart." There's no time limit to that. God is seeking for men today after God's own heart. Those who really want to do right. Those who have a sense of pending judgment. Those who want to thirst and hunger after righteousness to be a part of God's family. And God is looking for people like that. And I'm wondering if we recognize that God is searching our heart so we'll have an understanding of that. So when you look at David, and we're going to look not only his good points, but his bad points as you look at this. He kept the commandments of the Lord. 1 Samuel 13, as he was really decrying what Saul had done, he said, "I'm looking for someone who will do all my will." Well, that's wonderful. Wonderful to have the idea of someone who will do the will of God. There's a constant, and I heard the expression even yesterday as they were talking about the previews of the coming television season. And it talked about a program that's going to be pushing the envelope. Well, I know what that means. It's going to mean adult humor. It's going to be adult scenes and things that are wicked in today's world that people are using to find entertainment. They're pushing the envelope. And in contradistinction to that, we ought to be people that are seeking to do all the will of God, doing what God wants us to do. Now examine yourself as I speak about that, because I examine myself. Does it speak to your heart? Does it speak to you in the sense that there's an humbleness about you, that you really want to do the will of God? Now, the will of God is easy to read. It's in the Bible. And everything that we do as Christians in the Church of the Lord is according to the will of God. And you can prove that by just examining what we do in our worship with regard to the will of God. He was seeking someone who would do the commandments of the Lord. And David became the standard by which all the other kings were judged, because David sought to do the will of God. He often inquired of God. He would ask God, "Should I do this or should I not do that?" And that's a good thing for us to develop. I recognize that back in the days of the Old Testament, there was direct communication with God. As the priest of God wore the ephod, they could ask God questions and God would respond. Well, I don't have to have that today to understand the will of God. All I need to have is a Bible. And if I have a Bible, I want to know to do the will of God. What does the Bible say? "Thus saith the Lord." And that's what we're talking about this morning. So David had that kind of an attitude about keeping the commandments of the Lord, and he was willing to do that. So a man after God's own heart is a person who's committed to doing God's will. Now it may be that we don't know all of it because I haven't studied it, but it can be understood. It can be read. I can find out what God's will is. First of all, there must be that sense of commitment. Whatever the Bible says, that's what I'm going to do. Doesn't make any difference what my father did or what my parents did or what my cousins did. I'm going to follow the will of God. And that's what David had. That's why he was a man after God's own heart. But also he defended God's honor. There was a sense of righteous indignation when David was a young man. The Bible tells us in 1 Samuel 17 that he was sent by his father to take provisions to his brothers who were in the army, and they were fighting the Philistines. And one of the great fighters of the Philistines was Goliath. And as David came into the camp, here was this great big giant standing up making fun of the people of Israel because nobody would come out and fight him. And he was wondering, well, why don't somebody do something about that? And when he heard Goliath issue that charge, he was infuriated because he was challenging the integrity of God and God's people. And he had that sense of righteous indignation. Well, if you're going to charge us with that, I'll just go fight you myself. Now, here was this young boy, I don't know how old, but a young boy, and he took his slingshot and his faith in God, and you understand, as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story. He killed Goliath with a stone that went to his forehead and then cut off his head. He was angry that somebody would challenge God. Well, I get incensed sometimes when I listen to television today. I hear people say things about God and God's people that are just so out of character and so wrong. And only thing I can do is preach. But it causes me to have a sense of righteous indignation that people do not appreciate the Bible. They don't appreciate Jesus Christ. That's why I put an article in the paper this morning about the fact that even though there are those who question whether or not Jesus was a real historical character, you've got two well-known historians that actually knew about Jesus Christ in a non-complimentary way and testified that he was real. So we need to understand that Jesus is very real. He's the Son of God. He died on the cross for me and for you. And therefore, I have a sense of indignation when somebody speaks ill of Jesus Christ. It bothers me when people take God's name in vain. Amen. It bothers me when people are flippant about God. It's not at all unusual to see on Facebook or someplace on the internet about OMG. OMG, OMG. Watch television. Sometimes I'll watch the Wheel of Fortune. And when somebody wins a prize, oh my God. We'd have to recognize this is God's name that we're taking in vain in that sort of situation. God is holy. God is reverent in His name. And so David defended the honor of God. He spoke out in defense of God's honor. Would you do that if you're in a situation where the church is being ridiculed or Jesus is not being believed? He volunteered not just to say something, but he did something. He went out to fight Goliath and he acted out of his faith. So what God wants, and He's looking for people with a whole heart to serve Him, He's looking for people that have faith in somebody who will do something for the cause of Christ. I want to mention this morning, I may have said something about it, but when I was a very young fella preaching in North Carolina and about 21 years of age, not long ago, one of the great men there was Brother Seaton, who was an elder. He had a young boy at that time named Wayne. Wayne, in the meantime, has grown up and now he's preaching the gospel. And before, not too long ago, in fact, just last month, he had been in touch with some people in Africa, and they were having Bible studies online, and he led one church out of liberalism, and they took a stand for truth and said, come over and preach to us. So Wayne and some others went over to Ghana and preached for about 2 weeks. And tremendous response. Hundreds were baptized, new congregations were started, and the liberal mindset was turned away, and they've now committed to follow what the Bible says. You see these things, and that only happens when people have that sense of dedication. Yes, here's a need, I'm going to go. I'm going to go. Bobby did that when he went to India. He couldn't just say, no, I'm not going to go to India. I've been invited to come. And the results of what's happening in India is still going on today because others have stepped up with their whole heart. And they want to do good for that. And so Joe Price, whom we know, and Mark Smith down at Hewitt, Texas, are continuing to go to India. And great things are being done among those nations because someone felt a sense of obligation to honor the name of God. Now, does that describe you? Are you really thinking in terms of my relationship with God and how wonderful He is and how much He's blessed me? And so we're looking then for God's people who have that whole heart. When you look at 1 Samuel 24, I'm not going to go into all the details, but you know that Saul was trying to kill David. Saul had turned in his life from being a good man to a wicked man, and he turned against God. And David was anointed by the prophet. He is going to be the next king. He knows that because God told him he's going to be the next king. But in the process, Saul is trying to kill him, and he chases him and chases him and hunts him and has all that situation going on. And David had an occasion in 1 Samuel chapter 24. He was in a situation where Saul went into a cave to get some sleep, and back in the back of that cave were David and his men hidden. And Saul went to sleep. Now there was an occasion for David to kill the man who's tormenting him because he's going to be the next king. And he won't do it. He won't do it. Because David in his heart have a respect for God's anointed people. He knew that God was going to take care of things. He knew that he didn't want to put himself in a position of touching God's anointed. And that describes an attitude of a respect for holy things. A respect for holiness. And David had that. And a man after God's own heart will have a respect for spiritual things. Do you love the Lord's church? I'm not talking about just us people. We might not be easy to love. But in the ideal sense, when you look back at the working of God in His wisdom to establish the kingdom of Christ, the church, do you understand that ideal church that is the body of Christ and Christ is the head? And do you love that? Do you love God's people around the world? Do you love religious, holy, sacred things? Now that was a part of David's character. He had that sense of respect for holiness. So he didn't take for granted that he had the upper hand. He didn't take for granted that I know that I'm going to be the next king so I can put this man to death. He respected the holiness of God. And you know, as we go through this world and we see so many wicked things, the distinct difference between a carnal man and a spiritual man is that respect for holy things. Love the church. Truly love Jesus the Christ. Truly want to do what's right. Even though others may not. And he was being urged to kill Saul. But he wouldn't touch God's anointed. David realized that he did not have a right to interfere with God's choice. God would tend to that. A man after God's own heart will respect God's authority even when it inconveniences him. Yes, to become a Christian means that you've got to have some inconveniences and that you put off the old things of the world and put on the new man in Christ Jesus. And I'm using the word man in the generic sense. It certainly includes all the women. Sometimes the Bible speaks about a man as a male. Sometimes it speaks about men in the generic sense. And this is what we're talking about. Women can have all the attributes of men in respect of God and your whole heart. And so we're talking about not just a man after God's own heart, but people who will make up the Lord's people as God's own heart. He fought the battles of the Lord. We talked about that as Abigail was a woman who was trying to help them when he was fleeing from Saul. He needed provisions, and he asked Nabal for provisions, and he was sarcastic and mean-spirited toward David, and the fact that even though he knew that David was to be the next king, he didn't honor him, and David had an opportunity to go and kill him. But Abigail intervened and pleaded the cause, and David realized that I can't exact vengeance. See, there's a difference between vengeance and justice. We saw this a lot back in the Old West, when you would have somebody who would take the law into their own hands, and you'd have a posse, and somebody would hang somebody from a tree because they didn't like somebody or because they had done something they didn't like. So here's vengeance. But you had the people coming in electing sheriffs. Let the sheriff do the work. Let the law take its course. And David was of that sort. Yes, he could have exacted vengeance, but he wanted the Lord's way to take precedence over that. And that happens a lot of time with people. We have people who are having grudges against one another, or people who have been hurt in some way, and you exact vengeance, you want to get even. But he recognized that he'll fight the Lord's battles, not to try to get the Lord to fight for his personal battles. He could see that distinction. And sometimes that's a fine distinction to have, whether or not you're really doing things for the Lord or for your own personal advantage. And David could make that distinction. And so he chose to do the right thing, even when he had been wronged by Nabal. Then he honored his word. In 2 Samuel, it talks about David finally becoming king. And under Eastern practices, usually when someone has a descendant of a king, the new king will kill all the children of the old king lest they try to usurp the authority. And that's just the way it worked. But David had a friend in Jonathan, who was Saul's own son. And they had a love for one another that was unique. And so that even though Saul was trying to kill David, Jonathan loved David and protected him. And then David recognized when Jonathan got killed that he might do something good for Jonathan's children. So he finds a child of Jonathan by the name of Mephibosheth, and he's lame. And he's not able to take care of himself, and he brings him into the palace, and he feeds him at his own table, and restores him all the things that Saul had taken away from him. And a man after God's own heart is a person faithful to their word. Because he said to Jonathan, here was a pact that he and Jonathan made, that they'd always love each other and take care of other descendants. And so when he found Mephibosheth, then David took him into his own palace and always fed him at the same table, because he said, I've given my word. There's a part of the Bible says we're to keep our vows. You vow when you have a marriage ceremony that you're going to keep yourself for your mate, that you're going to be faithful to your mate. That's a vow. We see that being broken all the time today. We hear people that sometimes they have a marriage that lasts a couple weeks and then they get a divorce. They don't keep the vows. The man after God's own heart is the man who recognizes, I've given my word. And so we do the same thing when we obey the gospel of Christ. We hear the news about Jesus Christ. Yes, Tacitus and Josephus all both testified there was a true man named Jesus. We know the Bible completes the story and that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And when I think about that and recognize that I'm a sinner, I turn from my sins. I repent of the things that I've done wrong. I confess my faith in Christ Jesus, and I'm baptized for the remission of my sins, because a man after God's own heart is going to keep all the commandments of the Lord. I've said so many times, baptism is not a rite or ritual in the Church of Christ. Baptism is something taught by Jesus Christ himself. And the Great Commission, according to Mark, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. A man after God's own heart won't quibble about that. A person after God's own heart will recognize that when I'm baptized, I'm repeating the death of Christ in my life. Jesus died and was buried and raised, and when I'm baptized, I go through that. It's a spiritual death and a spiritual resurrection. And if I'm going to be a man after God's own heart, I'm going to want to do that. Why would I not? If I'm wanting to keep all the commandments of the Lord. And you have various passages that teach that very thing. And so a man after God's own heart will certainly want to do that, to honor the Word. And he handled his sin. Here's the bad part about David. And everybody knows it, what he terribly did. 2 Samuel chapter 11, chapter 12. At the time when kings went out to war, David stayed home. Now, I don't know why. The Bible doesn't tell us why he stayed home. Had he been out with his men fighting the enemy, he wouldn't have done this, but he was at home. He lusted after a neighbor's wife, committed adultery with her, had a child by her, and even killed her husband to try to cover up his deed. Yes, that happened. Well, how could David be a man after God's own heart? Because how he repented. How what he did. Nathan, the prophet, came to him and told him a little story about a man who had one lamb. Just one lamb. He loved that lamb and he fed it at his table. There was a neighbor that had a lot of lambs. And he had a visitor come see him, and rather than kill one of his lambs, he went over here to this man and just took his only lamb and killed it. And as David heard this story, he was incensed, and he said, that man ought to be put to death. And I can just vision it in my mind, that long, bony finger of Nathan. It had to look something like that when he said, thou art the man.
Amen.
Now David could have killed him. David could have lied, all sorts of things. But what caused him to be the man after God's own heart? He said, I have sinned. I have sinned. Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Can I point my bony fingers at you? But I point them back at me. We've all sinned. What is my attitude when I sin? Ignore it, pretend like it didn't happen, rise above it and just act like nothing ever happened, or do I recognize how horrible sin is in my life and say, Lord, I've sinned. Now, if I come to that point, what do I do about that? Well, the New Testament tells us what we do about that. We repent of our sins. That means to change my mind and quit doing it and then do something about it, because I need the blood of Christ to forgive me of my sins. And the blood of Christ is there. And so David condemned himself and he confessed his sin. He took responsibility and accepted the consequences. And the consequences, if you know the story, were very bad. The sword never departed from his house. His own son tried to destroy him and usurp the throne. David had a lot of troubles because of sin. And I say, we have our troubles because of sin.
Amen.
And I have to accept the consequences, but thank the Lord I can have forgiveness. So a man after God's own heart is a person who values his fellowship with God above all other things, do whatever is necessary to maintain that fellowship and responsibility. 1 John tells us we are to confess our sins, and the blood of Christ will forgive us of our sins. And so we look at the life of David, and I recognize that he did some wrong things, and they were terribly wrong, but in all of David's doings, he sought the Lord with his whole heart. And that's why he's elevated as an example of the king of Israel. And that's why David's throne became an example of the throne of God that's going to be in the kingdom of Christ. And it left me an example and left you an example. I can't just be satisfied with my life anymore. God is looking for somebody who's serving Him with his whole heart. Now, I've got to answer that. But I'd like for you to answer that in your own thoughts, in your own mind, in your own heart. Can you give yourself fully to God? If you will, then if you haven't been baptized into Christ, you will do that, because you're serving God with your whole heart. And I would hurry to the baptistry if I haven't obeyed the Lord Jesus Christ, because I want to serve Him with my whole heart, and I'm eager to that make everything right with God. If that describes you this morning, we invite you to come as we stand together. Give your heart to God while we sing.
I heard an old